first reading on the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 58. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you. I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with the wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you again in the ever-sufficient name of Jesus Christ this morning. You know, we just came through a season of presents and gift giving called Christmas, didn't we? And I knew people who took a lot of time, or in some cases spent, you know, what I consider a significant amount of money to wrap presents that they gave to other people. I mean, you know, it might have included some really fancy wrapping paper or some other kind of covering. It may involve expensive ribbon or expensive bows, and a lot of time was taken to put it all together and to just make it just right so that it was absolutely perfect and professional looking. What happened to that wrapping paper? Probably it got ripped up and thrown away, don't you think? Because it's what's on the inside of that package that counts, right? That's what the recipient wanted. Ultimately, too many people today don't want to be truly blessed on the inside. They just want to be well wrapped so that they look good in front of other people. They don't want to work on the inside, the part that counts. Now, I know that many of you today did not get a chance to look over our lessons today. Some of you may have. But you may have not seen the theme that runs through our lessons, because there's always a theme that runs through our lessons. And the theme today has to do with the way we live our life of faith. It seems to me that if you believe in God, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that Jesus came down to earth, took our sins with him to the grave, and then rose from that grave to give us everlasting life, a way that we can be and live with him forever in heaven, then there's probably two ways that you can live your life. You can live your life with that life of faith, where, you know, regardless of how the world views us, some would say in spite of the way the world views us Christians, that we live that life the way that God wants us to live. Or we can put up that false front, put on those false wrappings, if you will, and really live according to our own desires, go our own way. Now, some people may not even realize what they're doing, because sometimes people want to fool people that they're more righteous than they really are. They may even think they're fooling God. But, you know, people think that they have a right to live the way they want to live, the right of way, so to speak. Sure, we have free will. God has given us free will, the ability to live the way we want to live. But, you know, is that the best way that we can live? Well, if it's up to us human beings, I would say no. That's not the best way that we want to live. Why? Because we're not God. We didn't create ourselves, right? We're flawed imitations of him. And we can't fool him by pretending that we're people that we're not. I mean, I see that in our first lesson today, our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 58. Here Isaiah, the prophet, is tasked by God with rebuking the Israelites who were being disingenuous in their relationship with God. Now, the example used here is fasting, but we could really substitute the word fasting for any word that religious people might want to do to put on this show, so to speak. Like praying in public. You remember Jesus chastised the Pharisees for praying all solemnly in public and yet behind the scenes living a life that was not according to God. Or like singing, or like, you know, donating to just causes with the wrong intentions, looking for something to get out of it, not for God's purposes. And so when I read this, I could just hear. You know, I talked to Dustin about it. You know, I could just hear Isaiah getting in their face because that's what God told him to do. Just before our lesson today, God told Isaiah this. He says, "Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and the descendants of Jacob their sins." And so, you know, I think that Isaiah took God at his word and did just that. Because I can just hear him saying, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you, God, have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you, God, have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high." Can't you just hear Isaiah just laying into them with that? In other words, the people were just going through the motions of fasting, but they were still doing their own thing. They were going their own way. They were not honoring God. They were putting on a show for God, but they still wanted to do things their own way, the right of way. And then they wondered why God didn't seem to listen to them or respond to them favorably. You know, I got to thinking, do we ever find ourselves in that same position? Do we wonder why God is not responding to us even though we think we're doing the right thing? Maybe it's time that we re-examine what we are doing and whether or not it's the right way or we're just going through the motions of worship or prayer or fasting or whatever it may be. You know, we can fool ourselves. We can fool each other. But we can't fool God. As Paul said in our second lesson from his first letter to the Corinthians, he said, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." God wants us to live the way of right, His way. And Jesus, in our gospel lesson, tells us what that way of right might look like. And he starts off with this. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." You see, in Jesus' day, when he used salt as the example, his followers understood why he used it and exactly what he meant. Because salt was more basically a necessity back then. It was used for flavoring. It was used for preserving. And was, you know, like I said, much more of a necessity. But we can understand, can't we, that if salt loses its saltiness in some way, it's lost its reason to be salt to begin with. And as such, it's not good for anything except to be thrown away. If salt gets diluted or it's by water or some other way, it's useless. So how does that translate to us today? Well, as I said, salt does a number of things. You know, as I was trying to tell the children here, salt mixed with food flavors that food, makes it less bland, makes it more palatable. And so as spiritual salt, we should understand that we have an influence in the world. We can influence people around us. We Christians are mixed in with non-believers to spiritually flavor the world that we come in contact with. Imagine a world where the influence of Christians is not realized. Can you imagine that? What a dismal and sinful and decadent, hopeless world we would be living in, right? Jesus said that as his followers, we need to influence the world. God's way is for us to make the world taste better, to feel better, to look better. And we can do that by pointing to Christ and him crucified in every relationship we have, everything we do. We should be using our belief in Jesus and his teaching for us to season the world around us so that it looks more like heaven rather than like hell. We can't do that if we're not fully engaged in his way of life, the way of right. I believe that we should be good salt to flavor our portion of the world with God's message, to save as many souls as we can save here so that they can join us in forever. Because as Christians, if we don't enhance the world around us with the truth about Jesus, and if we don't demonstrate his love like Christ's hope demonstrates his love, then we're not very effective for his purposes, are we? We've lost our saltiness. Now, another thing that salt does, which was more prevalent in Jesus' time than it is today, is to use it to preserve things like meat. And so as salt, we Christians should be about preserving the goodness that still remains in this world. You know, it's similar to enhancing the flavor, but it's preserving the goodness. And if we don't care about preserving the goodness in this world, what are we saying? We're saying let it rot. Because sin and evil rot this world. We see it every day, don't we? We see it on the radio. We see it, you know, with our own eyes. I mean radio, television. We see it with our own eyes every day. This world exists because in his love and in his mercy, God wants as many people as possible to be with him in everlasting life. In the meantime, we Christians can help preserve the goodness of this world, the goodness of our culture, by displaying the love, the goodness, the beauty, the honesty, the integrity of Jesus, just to name a few things. In reality, our saltiness comes from Jesus because he is the real flavoring here. We can mix him into all of our relationships. Now, another way that Jesus told us that he wants us to live in our gospel lesson today is for us to be light. Be light. You know, darkness exists because of the absence of light, doesn't it? Think about this. The thing that's shining through our window here is from the sun. The sun is a big ball of light, isn't it? And it shines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, week after week, year after year, thousands of years after thousands of years, right? It never stops shining. And yet, the earth goes through periods of darkness, doesn't it? It's not because the sun is not shining, is it? It's because the world, the earth, turns away from that Son. So too, the goodness, the love, the mercy of God shines on us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever and ever and ever, right? And so when we experience periods of darkness, it's not because God has turned off His mercy and His love, is it? It's because we've turned away from that love and that mercy. In Him, there is no shadow. There is no darkness. When we receive faith to believe in Jesus, we become reflectors of His light. We become mirrors of His light. And so we can reach the dark corners and the recesses of this world with the light of truth from God. Because when we believe in Jesus, we know how much He loves us. We know what kind of rewards there are for those of us who are faithful to Him to the end, right? Our purpose is to bring that light, the light of God, to people who are around us and who are living in the darkness of sin, that need the light of God to shine on them. So what are we to do with the light that has been given to us that we are to reflect? What are we doing? Right? Well, Jesus said, put it high on a hill so that everybody can see it. However, many times, what do? We put it under the bowl. We put it under the basket. Too many times, we let our light dim by not showing it, by not explaining it to other people. How does that happen? When we fail to speak up about Jesus, when we fail to talk about His truths that He gives us in His Word, when we go along with the crowd by saying and doing things that we know God doesn't want us to do, when we go our own way, because after all, we have the right, right? Our right of way only benefits us, and it ignores the needs of other people. It happens when we live for our own glory instead of reflecting the glory of God. God wants us to live the way of right, His way. God told the Israelites through Isaiah how to live that way of right. He said, is it not to share your food with the hungry, or to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, and when you see the naked to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? He says, then your light will break forth like the dawn. You see, God wants us to shine like the stars in the sky. When are the stars the brightest? When it's the darkest, right? In this dark, sin-filled world, we have the opportunity, we have the obligation to shine brightly for Jesus, don't we? In a world that prefers darkness, we're to reflect His will. We're to reflect His truth. We're to reflect His light, to show the way to everlasting life, aren't we? As Jesus said in our gospel, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, our good deeds, our good works are a reflection of our faith. They're not the way that we can get into heaven. They're not the means of salvation. Now, the Old Testament Israelites were putting on this show to make other people think they were religious. They were living the right way. When we feed the hungry, when we give shelter to the homeless, when we clothe the people that need clothing, we are reflecting Him. That's what God wants us to do. As Paul said in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, he said, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Or to put it another way, God wants us to live in such a way that the pieces of our life come together to form a picture of salvation that we've already received. You know, salvation is a gift from God that we've already received through Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the living the way of right is to arrange our lifestyle to show the existence of a person saved by grace. Does that make sense? Think about it another way. I always have other ways to think about it. If you were put on trial and accused of being a Christian, would you be convicted? Or would you be acquitted of all charges? Are you living because you have the right of way? Or are you living the way of right? If we live the way of right, as Isaiah said to us in our first lesson, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, "Here am I." Isn't that what we all want? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for coming to us in Your Word to guide us as to how we should be living our lives in You. We get selfish on occasion. We go our own way. Reign us in, Lord. Help us to live not as whitewashed tombs, as Jesus called the Pharisees, but as fully complete pictures of spiritual health. Help us to be salt. Help us to be light. Help us influence in whatever way we can this world to also be more like Jesus. We care about bringing more and more people to know You and surpassing the righteousness of the Pharisees so that we can be with You in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.